Hello, Go Church family. I'm Elia, and I'm here with Pastor Matt.
Hi, everyone.
And our special guest for this month, Christelle.
Hello again.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Ahlan, ahlan. Ahla fik. Pastor Matt always say. So, as you all know, this month we are focusing on true worship.
I'm enjoying the study, the discussion.
Yeah, we have enjoyed the Big Sunday. We have enjoyed everything about this series. True worship is something that I believe every believer in Jesus should know, because I believe it's life-changing.
Yeah.
And Jesus said the Father is looking for them.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So before we dig deeper into this week's points, that our worship as a lifestyle that is more than a song, let's go ahead and remind all the Go Church family about the purpose of this month's series. The purpose is that we want everyone at Go Church to experience the fullness of New Testament worship, to know what true worship is, how it flows from a spirit-filled life, and how praise and worship align us with God's plans, presence, and power.
Praise God.
Yeah. Experience is the big point. Yeah. Since it's been 2 months, and it's been, 3.5 years, because it's part of Go Church. Yeah. Because it is the base of the values of Go Church, is that we want everyone to experience the unconditional love of God. So experience is something that we are based on, because we don't just tell people about something, we let them experience it.
That's right.
Because to adopt a lifestyle, to grab something, it is better to experience it before.
Yeah.
One man said it this way, a person with an experience is never moved by someone else that has an argument. So you can, people can walk around with theories and ideas, but once you have an experience, you're kind of too late.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good.
That's really good. So this week, we're going to focus, as we said, on the worship as a lifestyle.
Yeah.
That is more than a song. It's not something that, it's not just one thing.
Yeah, oftentimes in, it depends on, a person's church background, but sometimes we can equate worship with the music part of a public gathering.
Yeah.
And what I'm challenging all of us to do is to say, let's let the scripture define what true worship is.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not going to do away with music. We love singing, and I love music, and I love worship on our big Sundays, the time where we can all gather together and lift our voice. That's great.
Yeah.
But I want scripture to define what true worship is.
Yeah.
And really, there's kind of three scriptures that this week I want us to dig into. And the first one we looked at in our last week's podcast, and we can start there in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 is Paul's instruction to the church.
Yeah.
So this applies to us. If this applied to the church in Rome, it applies to the church in Beirut, certainly.
Yeah, 100%.
And I'm going to just read the first verse. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, therefore I urge you. Now, if we just stop right there, think about the language.
Yeah.
Paul signals that this is important and that there's some action that is required. You just mentioned about experience, individual experience. This is now pointing to individual action.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I urge you, brethren, brothers. So he's referring specifically then to people in the family of God. If you go back to the first chapter of Romans, you can see Romans, which was not written in chapter and verse, but it was written as a letter. The letter is addressed to those who are in Christ, those who have been born again.
Yeah.
So chapter 12, verse 1 is asking for action by those who are part of the family of God. He said, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, a holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship.
Yeah.
So right in this passage, we can see that though these people are Christian, they're born again, they are, by the Apostle Paul, directed to do something. And that action is to present their body. Me, present me.
Yeah.
I can't present you, but I can present me. Me, present me before God as a holy sacrifice. And we could talk about a lot, you know, from that. Because right there you can see purity.
Yeah.
You can see character. 100%. But also, what I want us to focus here is commitment. Yeah. And it is persistent commitment.
Yeah.
A living sacrifice is very different than a dead one.
Yeah.
And it's different in this way. The dead sacrifice has no say. It can't get up and walk away.
Yeah.
A living sacrifice has to continually reaffirm the commitment to be in that place of worship.
Yeah.
And you know what, as well, the point is that he didn't say, Paul didn't say that, present your bodies as a living sacrifice in the church.
In the
church. Whenever you are in the church.
That's good.
So this says that it's for our daily life. It's not something that we do in church or how we do church. It's a lifestyle. It's how we should live.
Right.
We should live presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice for God.
Yeah, and to the other two verses kind of underline this. Let's look over to Hebrews chapter 13. That's the last chapter of the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 13, verse 15. Christelle, will you read that?
Sure. Hebrews 13, verse 15. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name.
So, continually.
Yeah.
There's that word.
Yeah.
Let someone else offer.
Yeah.
Is that right? Is that what it says?
No.
What's it say?
Let us.
So we are to continually do this.
Yeah.
This isn't something I can outsource. I can't ask the pastor to do it for me.
Yeah.
Man, that would be nice. I would love, I would be happy to do that for everyone. We have to do this for ourselves.
Yeah.
So Jesus said, John chapter 4, the Father is seeking those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. True worshipers are those who worship the Father.
Yeah.
Paul gives instructions for us to treat our bodies like a living sacrifice. Here, the writer of Hebrews says that we are to continually offer up a sacrifice of praise. Sacrifice of praise, how does that sound to you? If you hear that term, sacrifice of praise, what does that make you think?
Sacrifice of praise. I believe it's to always praise the Lord.
Right.
In any situation you're facing, in any kind of situation you're facing.
But if we apply that word sacrifice to it, it presents a particular picture, right? If if you've ever visited Baalbek, for example, you can see this ancient idolic temple. And a big altar where animals were sacrificed. And you can get the idea, even that's just ruins today, that the animals were probably not super excited when this was happening. Like, can we go now? What's happening? Why am I on these hard rocks? Wait, why has that guy got a knife? The sacrifice part means that there's like a cost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
True.
There's a cost to it. If you are going to make a sacrifice, it means that there's something that you are giving.
Yeah.
And here he says that I'm to sacrifice praise. What is that? Well, it tells us that is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name.
Yeah.
So what am I supposed to be continually doing? I'm supposed to be continually making something that costs me an offering to God.
Yeah.
And that starts with
My lips. Yeah. What I say. Yeah, words.
Words that I say.
Yeah.
And so rather than just this very common expression of, I'm just talking. Oh, don't listen to me. I'm just talking. That's not what we're called to do. Continually, our words need to be an offering of praise to God, acknowledging his name, giving thanks to his name.
That's why we say that we worship God for who he is, and we don't worship him for who we are, because we can change, feelings can change, and that's super important. That's why words matter. Words have power, and it's important what we say.
You know, the part of like sacrifice, usually when you say sacrifice, people think about as you're talking, because in the Old Testament, sacrifice is related to death.
Yeah.
So whenever you're presenting a sacrifice, the sacrifice will be dead. But this is the point, that whenever we are presenting sacrifice in place of giving our life, we are taking life. So this is like the difference between the Old Testament sacrifice and the New Testament sacrifice.
Very well said.
That's
giving
good.
Life, you're taking life.
Yeah. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 kind of sums this up. It says that in the Old Testament, we see death, right? And there's a reason for that. The penalty for sin is death.
Yeah.
But Jesus has paid that penalty. And so in the New Testament, we see life.
Yeah.
We receive life.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes we say we're going to give our life to Christ, and that's maybe that's a good thing to say. It's good to commit ourselves to him. But in the New Testament, we actually receive his life.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah.
And that gives us something to continually praise God about and for.
Yeah.
Who he is and who he is in us.
Yeah, yeah. So, thank you, Lord. Like,
just to dig into our teaching points that we're going to dig, I believe, more and more in the grow groups.
Yeah. But
the first point is that worship can be expressed first through thanksgiving.
That's exactly right.
So I believe just can start with thanking God all the time. Wherever you have the chance, just say, thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
In fact, let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Can you open 1 Thessalonians? 1 Thessalonians, the fifth chapter is the end of this letter that Paul wrote to the church in Thessaloniki. And in verse 16, he says, rejoice always.
Thank you, Lord.
That's
Thank
it.
Lord.
Rejoice always. Then verse 17, pray without ceasing.
Yeah.
And in verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. If you think, I don't know the will of God, what's the will of God for my life? Right here it says, in everything give thanks.
Yeah.
It didn't say for everything give thanks. You walk outside and you see that someone has backed into your car and the bumper has been destroyed. I just have to thank God that the bumper was destroyed. No, but in that situation, instead of saying, oh, this always happens to me. Oh, of all the cars that could have been hit, that it had to happen to me. No, in that situation, I thank God. Why?
Yeah.
Because he redeemed me.
Thank you, Lord.
And I'm blessed.
Yeah.
And even though that bumper is broken, the Lord who provided this vehicle, he will provide a way for it to be repaired or replaced with something even better. In everything, give thanks.
Amen.
That's really good. Amen. Even the Apostle Paul said, I am content when he was in prison.
Yeah, yes. Said, I've learned.
To be content. Yeah. Yeah, because he's focusing on who God is and not the circumstance around him or the situation. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah. Well said. And Ephesians chapter 5, we looked at this over the past 2 months when we were looking at what it means to live a Spirit-filled life. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20 says, always giving thanks for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, even the Father. The most spiritual people that I've ever encountered, that I've been around, I find this very, the two things that kind of stand out to me about them. One, they're very normal. Like, they're not weird. Very spiritual people are not weird.
Yeah.
They're not like, they're very normal. And then the second thing is they always, when they're just quiet or when the conversation tends to lull, they're always thanking God. And I'll hear them say, thank you, Lord. No, they're not saying it to me. They're not saying it for my benefit.
Yeah.
But it's so much in the flow of their internal dialogue that it seeps out of their mouth.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So how do we practice being a true worshiper? Well, it starts with a continual commitment, and that continual commitment is evidenced by what we say.
Yeah.
So we see the commitment expressed by what we say.
Yeah.
In fact, we'll never really see that commitment expressed in what we do until we hear or see it expressed in what we say.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Yeah, Psalm 104 says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise.
Yeah.
So this is, I think, like the way to start, maybe, like if we're going to put it in a prayer thing, in place to start, like to start with thanking him.
That's
for
exactly
what he has done already for me. As you said, he has redeemed me. He has blessed me. I'm not just blessed, I am the blessed. He doesn't only heal me, I am the healed. Like, I'm the redeemed. So, like, this is my identity because of who I am in Christ and who Christ is in me. So it's not something that I'm asking for. It's not something that I will be in the future. It is who I am today.
Yeah.
So I think as well, these like points, these truths, whenever I grab these truths, these will be like a big push for me to understand what true worship is and how to worship God truly.
This verse in Psalm, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise, reminds me of a minister that's in heaven now. This was in England maybe 80, 85 years ago. He was asked to speak at a church, and so after they turned the service to him, he said, how many of you came in here proper today? And the crowd, maybe more than 100 people, no one really knew how to respond.
Mm-hmm.
And then he quoted this verse, and he made everyone get up and leave and then come back in biblically.
Wow, I like that.
I don't know if we should...
Maybe you can use
it. We should try that at our next Go Church gathering. But it's a good practice.
Yeah.
It's a good practice. That was a practical illustration of a good spiritual truth for us to constantly adopt an attitude of thanksgiving. There is something to praise God about.
Oh, yeah.
No matter what the situation you find yourself in, you mentioned Paul who learned, he told the church in Philippi, he says, I've learned to be content in whatever state that I'm in.
Yeah.
Because he learned who he was in Christ and who Christ was in him.
Thank you, God. Yeah, thank you, Lord.
And so when Paul wrote, rejoice always, when he wrote these things, Paul himself practiced that in circumstances that you and I would probably think, This is, I mean, some of these Roman prisons that Paul spent time in, they didn't rise to the level of, let's say, humanitarian conditions that we today expect in the 21st century.
Yeah.
And there were many conditions that Paul found himself in where you'd think, okay, this is worth me saying, poor me. You know, I'm just, I mean, Paul was stoned. When people would stone someone, this happened right outside of Galatia. We find this in the book of Acts. They stop stoning when the person's dead.
Yeah.
So people gathered to hit Paul with rocks until he died so that he would stop preaching the message of Jesus. And I can imagine that the temptation for Paul laying there on the ground with, you know, bleeding gashes and people pelting him with rocks is, all I'm trying to do is keep you from going to hell. You know, Paul made the comment, he says, I didn't covet anyone's silver or gold. I actually paid my own way, and I paid for the people that were with me to come and bring you the gospel. So you can imagine, like, you can imagine someone in this situation, like, I'm actually paying money out of my own pocket. And your response is to hit me in the head with rocks.
Or if you just know what I'm doing for you.
And so you know, we can find ourselves in a situation where from a natural perspective, we think, oh, haram, this is, you know. But the New Testament instruction and who the Father is looking for are those who will say, no, I'm not going to let myself think like that. I'm not going to let myself talk like that. Instead, I'm going to say, you know what? I'm redeemed.
Redeemed. Yeah.
The blood of Jesus was shed for me.
Yeah.
I have something to be thankful for.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, thank you.
And in doing that, we open up what Pastor Hagen referred to in his book, the untapped power for the church in praise.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Basically, with what we talked about, Paul, it brings us to our second point, which is worship is offering our whole life to God.
Yeah.
Which this is what we saw Paul did. And some people might say, but this is Paul. And we are the children of God as well.
Yeah, that's right. So, Paul said, follow him just the way he's following Christ.
Yeah.
And really, this is the point of this is I don't want us to think worship is just the music part of our gathering. Yeah. Worship is the way we live our life.
Yeah.
And there's a quote from that book that I mentioned, Untapped Power of Praise. If you haven't read it, I really encourage you to get a copy of it. He said worship doesn't, you know, begin or end when the music starts. It begins when we yield our will to his.
Yeah.
That's good.
And that starts with, you know, my will. It's like, well, I feel like complaining. Mm-hmm. So don't.
Yeah.
I feel like whining. So
don't.
Yeah.
And you know, like I was at an airport once in Paris, the Paris airport. We were just transiting. We were leaving Beirut on our way back to some meetings in the U.S. And there was this, the flight had been delayed. The flight that we were supposed to get on had been canceled. So we're in a very long line. The line is full of very upset people. Mm-hmm. And right in front of me is a mother with a child. Maybe the child was 3 or 4 years old. And this kid was throwing a fit, whining and crying and stomping. And I looked at Julie and I said, I know exactly how that little boy feels. I wanted to do exactly the same thing. I felt like doing that. But I chose not to, right? I chose not to. Why? Because I, for the most part, know how I'm supposed to act in public.
Yeah.
Right? But in the same way, we can apply that. There's days where you wake up and you just feel like being that little kid throwing a fit. We need to remember, hey, it's not okay to just act like a toddler.
Yeah.
The Bible says I'm to rejoice always.
Yeah. Always.
I'm supposed to thank God, not for everything, but in every situation, give thanks
thank
to God.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah, thank you, Lord.
So this brings us as well for the third point, that is worship involves physical expression and requires spiritual discernment.
Oh, I can't just do it in my heart.
You can dance in your heart.
It's hard to dance in your heart, isn't it?
Yeah. It's hard to lift your hands in your heart.
Physical expression is a like a natural but very integral part of true worship.
Yeah.
Right? We want to worship in spirit and in truth, but that's not in secret.
Yeah.
Right?
That's good.
There should be some evidence of what I'm doing.
That's
good. If you see someone in a corner and their head is buried in their hands, you don't look at them and say, looks like they're rejoicing.
True. That's true.
Right? Yeah. There should be some physical evidence that is like a witness to what I'm doing.
Yeah. And as well, like, because if I'm thankful, if I'm, like, as you said, I'm rejoicing, the joy should be, like, seen in me, as you said. Because I can't be thankful, oh, thank you, Lord, with, like, being sad. If I'm thankful for something, that means that I'm happy about it. I'm full of joy about what is happening. So joy needs to be seen. It can't be hidden.
That's exactly right. And this is why I use little kids as a great example, because little kids don't try to mask
or to hide things.
And you know, I can look at a little boy that gets the toy or the thing that he really wants, and you immediately see.
Yeah.
You know, the hips move, the shoulders move, everything's moving.
Yeah.
Why? Because there is true joy. There's evidence of this act of thankfulness.
Yeah.
Hey, are you happy that you got a second cupcake? Yay. So that it's not hidden. In the same way, true worship has physical expression.
Yeah.
So as we like come into end of this podcast and like to prepare you, Go Church family, to your grow groups, I would like to leave this question with you, or maybe a couple of questions to think about between you and yourself. The first one is that, what does worship look like for you between Sundays, between the Big Sunday and the Arabic Believers Gathering until you come back to church, and between the Arabic Believers Gathering and the English Believers Gathering? So from Sunday to another Sunday, how does worship look like in your daily life?
And good question.
Another question, am I offering my whole life, my thoughts, my body, my time, and actions as worship to God? So these questions will let us dig deeper and think about and focus on what we are doing, what we are saying, what like our actions and in our daily life too, because when I focus on these things and I know the biblical truth about it, I will be able to change, because I can't change the problem until I identify the problem. So we can change until we identify what needs to be changed. Our words, what we do, what we watch, what we speak, everything. So we need to identify the things so we can change them.
Very well said.
Yeah, really well said.
Well, I'm enjoying this study, but I'm really looking forward to our grow group discussions.
Yeah.
And so I want to encourage everyone to come ready with to our grow groups, not just to sit and hear, but to participate.
Yeah.
But more than that, to do what you said, evaluate what is our rhythm of life and how can we change it to reflect more true worship, as defined by the New Testament. And that said, if you made it this far in your day,
and no one has told you yesterday, we want you to know
we love you
and we're praying for you.
God bless you.